foundation of our life is based on, but let me tell you, God's word can weather any question that you can ask of it. So ask away, because this is the truth, but you'll never know it unless you put it to the test. In fact, last week, that's what last week's message was all about. It was about God's word being trustworthy. But until you get to the place where you put it to the test and you test it and test it against whatever you like, you'll never find out if it's true or not. In fact, I talked about it being academically disingenuous if we don't put it to the test and study both sides of an argument. But if y'all want to hear about that, y'all can go last week. This week, we're talking about holding on to God's word. Y'all ready? Good, because I want you to hold on to two things. Number one, a relationship with God. And number two, a relationship with the people that God places in your life that you know are like God relationships. I want you to grow in those two areas. And the truth is that it can be hard to hold on to both, can it? I've been married, this year will be 20 years. I know, I got married at 11. Okay, not really. It is hard to hold on to relationship for any length of time, isn't it? But I want you to be able to do it. I mean, I remember a lady, she said, you know, Pastor, like, I feel like the only person in my life that loves me unconditionally is my dog. Y'all probably felt that way before in the past, huh? And you can put it to the test, you know, take your dog, take your spouse, put them in the trunk of a car on a summer day, leave them there for an hour, come back. Which one's going to be happy to see you? My heart is that you are able to hold on to truth, but you've got to first seek it. Because when you seek truth, you'll find it. And when you find truth, you will find God. And when you put to the test the Bible and the God of the Bible, you'll find that this word holds true. I feel like I'm preaching last week's message. We're going to go on to this week's message, which is about holding on to the truth of God's word. John 8:31 and 32, Jesus says this. Now, Jesus was one of three things. You realize that. Jesus, he was either one of three. He was a total lunatic. Because you need to read what he said and study it and find out, was he a lunatic? Because he said some crazy stuff. He's either a lunatic, he's either a complete and total liar. Like he lied about who he was and the truth that he claimed. He either was a lunatic liar or he was who he said he was. And he says this in John 8:31 and 32. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Why do people look at Christians through the lens of hypocrisy? Because a lot of people, they say, well, I'm a Christian. That means a follower of Jesus. But they don't always hold to those teachings. And they loving Tony's Pizza. So, but you can't go eat like junk food three times a day and expect to get in shape, can you? If you want to get bowed up and blowed up and looking sharp and lean and mean, like, not this, but I can dream, can't I? You have to do what you don't want to do so that you can become what you want to be. Have you found that to be true? Because there's an aspect of discipline in which we find spiritual truth. And the discipline is, I may not enjoy what I do in the interim. Like, who likes studying? I like reading what I want to read when I want to read and studying what I like to study when I want to study. I don't like you telling me what I got to study. But anybody here got a degree? You don't have to raise your hands, but like, you know, I went to school and I may not have liked study, but boy, you sure do like the outcome of it, don't you? Because it can provide a living for you, can it? Whether that's a trade with your hands or whether that's something you learn with your brain. We got to do oftentimes what we may not initially enjoy doing because we recognize the benefit in the long run. Now I'm just using reason. It's not heretical. Here's my point. Put it to the test. What do I do when I don't understand? Sometimes you won't fully understand the Word of God until you are on the other side of obedience. Put it to the test. The second thing that I want you to get, the first one, if you want to hold on to God's Word, make it the foundation of your life. The second one is make it a daily part of your life. Make it a daily part of your life. It's the first part of your daily life. Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well." Make it the first part of your daily life. I'm challenging you for the next 21 days. It takes about 21 days to establish a habit. Make it the first part of your daily life. And I'm not just going to say do that. I'm going to give you three very simple things on how to do that. Really, it's just one broken out, down into three. It's called the first 15. By the way, if you've got your sermon notes, it's in the sermon notes in the worship guide that you have. If not, you can download right here on your phone. You can download the app, and we have a digital version of the notes. The first 15. I want to make this very doable for you because I want you to get into God's Word. I want you to put it to the test because then you'll see that it is actually truth. First 15, here it is, 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in Scripture. Take 5 minutes and read the Scripture. You can go to Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. Not every other month. There's 31 days in a month. That's one a day. But take 21 days. Just read a proverb. If you'd like a reading plan, we actually have that on our website as well. You can find a reading plan. But take 5 minutes and read Scripture. And before you do, just go, God, help me to understand it. Help me to hear your heart through it. Show me something I may not see otherwise. Then open it up and read. Follow a plan. That'd be my advice, and you can find that online, or you can read Proverbs. The second thing, 5 minutes in worship. 5 minutes in worship. What does that look like? Because you may be a terrible singer. I totally get it. Gotcha. Just take 5 minutes and listen to a worship song. I can be a little hyped up and amped up, and there can be this tendency for me to go into beast mode. Anybody here, you follow? You're like, yeah, I can get into beast mode pretty easy. And like little things can like turn into big things, and like, I'm going to cut the head of that big ugly thing off when really it's just about this big because I'm in beast mode. Nobody else here goes beast mode? Don't leave me standing up here like I'm in my drawers preaching, like feeling all alone. Anybody else, you can go beast mode on people and on life and on yourself. This is what I find. You know, in that moment, I should not be putting on like house music and EDM and like, because then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to kill somebody. I need to get to the place of worship. And I can be frustrated, aggravated, just on that edge of beast mode or in it, and put in worship music that's declaring the goodness of God and the peace of God and the love of God and the purpose of God for my life. And I listen to that for 5 minutes. It soothes that beast because it puts my heart in the right perspective to seek God and know him and to be at peace. And the first fruits of God's Spirit, love, joy, peace. 5 minutes of worship. I want to help you do that. Every day at 5 a.m. for the next 21 days, we'll be posting a worship song on our Facebook, on Facebook, so that you can just click on that and listen to that song of worship. 5 minutes of the word, 5 minutes of worship. The third thing is 5 minutes of prayer. 5 minutes of prayer. Get in prayer. What is that? That is you talking and listening to God. And I've got just a twofold plan for you. Here's the first one. Why don't you start with just thanking God? Because everybody here today and everybody online who can hear my voice, you have something you can be thankful for. Thank God. And the second one is then you can petition God. But I would also say you should listen as well. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't be anxious about anything. Wow, that's a command. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious. Pray, petition with thanksgiving. And here's what you find as you ask God, you're grateful. God, thank you so much. Lord, you know what I'm going through. Here it is. Take 5 minutes. And when your heart is right, you've spent time in Scripture, you've spent 5 minutes in Scripture. You can spend more. I'm not going to fuss at you, I promise. 5 minutes in Scripture, 5 minutes in worship. And when you spend your 5 minutes in prayer, if your heart is seeking God, let me tell you what happens. It says that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Everybody wants peace. It comes from one place. And it's a security knowing that God is there and he knows us. Hold on to God's word. Make it the foundation of your life. Make it the first part of your daily life. And here's the third thing. Make it grow deeper in your life. Make it grow deeper in your life. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of God dwell in you richly. I want God's word on the inside of you. I want it inside of you. Like, great example, this right here. If this is you, this is God's word. When you begin to get it inside of you, there's a transformation that takes place. Can y'all see this over here? I'm going to put that in there. Put that in there just a little bit. It's like God's word inside of us, and what begins to happen? Oh, it leaks into us. And there's a transformation that begins to take place because I want you to steep in God's word. I want you to get it inside of you. Does that make sense? I want to give you three very practical aspects of how to get God's word inside of you in a way that resonates with you. So just forgive the academic and scholastic nature of what I'm about to say, but it's really pretty simple. Three things. Here's the first one. You should probably get a translation that resonates with you. Get a translation that you like, that you understand. And I want to explain something. The Bible wasn't written in English. Like, really? It wasn't like, actually, my pastor told the story of he was somewhere and this old lady said, the King James Version, if it was good enough for Jesus and the disciples, it was good enough for me. I'm like, yeah, I don't think you know your history so well. Find a translation because the Bible wasn't written in English. The Old Testament is all ancient Hebrew, which interestingly enough, died, by the way, after 70 AD, and there was no Hebrew language for almost 2,000 years until in the 1860s it was revived. And so modern Hebrew, which is spoken by about 12 million people worldwide as their native language, it was the only language that we've ever seen resurrected from the dead. But it's based on ancient Hebrew, so when modern Jews in Israel who are speaking as their primary and first language Hebrew, they're actually speaking ancient Hebrew, and they can go back and read like the Dead Sea Scrolls. Isn't that fascinating? It's pretty impressive. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. Both of those require translations. If you've ever been around gone to a foreign country where they don't speak English, you may have trouble getting around if you don't have a translator and you don't speak the language, correct? So we're going to talk about the three types of translations because I want you to get a translation that you understand. There's three types. I'm going to go through this quickly. The first one is exact equivalency. That means that it is translated word for word, correcting for two things, grammar and syntax. Syntax is the order in which words are placed. So if you speak Spanish, you wouldn't say, like, I have a red car. You would say, yo tengo, carro rojo. I have a car red. So we'd switch that around so it makes sense. Does that make sense? So that exact equivalency is word for word. The versions that are exact equivalency are King James. I'm just going to say I don't recommend it. You can read it if you like, but it was translated over 400 years ago, and there's plenty of these and thous and things that I just really don't understand. I'll give you an example in a minute. King James, the New King James Version, which is an excellent version. I study from, do my study from New King James or NASB, New American Standard Version, or the English Standard Version. Those are all exact equivalencies. The second type of translation is a dynamic equivalency. That means it translates thought for thought or idiom for idiom, which some scholars will say is a little more accurate in painting the whole picture, because an idiom would be something like a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Have y'all heard that expression before? It roughly means like, hey, what you got right now may be better than something that's twice as good, but you don't have it yet. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That doesn't really translate into like, if you can translate that into Spanish, they'll be like, eh? So a dynamic equivalency, some of the translations that are dynamic equivalencies are the New Living Translation, the Good News Bible, the TEV, the NEV. I do my study from an exact equivalency. I do my personal devotion from the NLT. That's my favorite. And it's the dynamic equivalency. And then we have the third type, which can somewhat even be contested as to whether or not that's an actual translation, because it's translated from English into a more understandable English. The two versions that we see that are most prominent are the Living Bible, which was translated by one man as a Bible that his children, his small children, could understand. It's the Living Bible. And the other one was translated in a similar fashion, but more directed towards adults. It's called the Message. Can I just show you an example of scripture reading from all three? Do y'all mind? I'm just checking time. I don't want to keep y'all too long. Although nobody minds when a pastor goes really long, right? King James Version, 1 Corinthians 13:4. We're going to do the same version each time. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I'm like, I don't know who Charity is, but I don't know if I like her or dislike her. I can't even understand. The New Living Translation is the idiomatic, or the thought for thought, and it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. And then we see the paraphrase, which is, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. There's a difference. Do they all say roughly the same thing? So I often get the question, was there a right translation? It's like going to another country and finding a translator. They may find a translation that is relevant with scripture, first of all, that it's accurate, and that resonates with you. My personals for study are New King James and New American Standard. For devotion is New Living Translation. The next thing, if you want to see it grow deeper in your life, you have to be able to like comprehend what you're reading. The next one is, I would recommend getting a study Bible. Yes, it is a paper Bible. No, it is not an app, though you can get study Bibles on an app. There is something about the tactile sensation and the accomplishment of turning pages that statistically and research has shown we comprehend more. So get a study Bible that has notes at the bottom that will help you understand what is being said and the context in which it was written. Both are very important. Three types of study Bibles that I would recommend: the Life Application Study Bible. It's a great study Bible. The second would be the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible. Great Bible. If you're more business savvy and into leadership, the Maxwell Leadership Bible points out those areas where we can see both an Old Testament and New Testament leadership aspects that we find within the Bible. Great Bibles, all three of them. Get a study Bible. And then here's the third aspect of growing deeper. You ready? Get in a group. Get around people that can be an encouragement to you as you seek God. Get in a group. Get around people that can bring life to you. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Listen, if you want to be good at something, whatever it is, like if I want to be a good fisherman, I'm not, I'm terrible. I'm gonna get around some people that are really good. Why? Because they can encourage me, they can show me. Get in a group. Get on a team. Get on the team, our team here that serves. We serve in our community. We serve in outreach. We serve here at services. You saw them when you were in the parking lot coming up. You see them in children's ministry. You see them in ushering. You see them on the platform here on the worship team, the AV team in the back, which does so much that you probably don't see. But get on a team. Why is that? Because you were made to make a difference and to be with people who are doing the same. And then I would say get in the Grow. Get into our growth track. If you want to go deeper, our growth track takes place today. It's every Sunday right after the second service. Food, child care is provided. My heart with Grow, and the point that we do it as a church so that you can grow in your walk with God and be connected to others. It's all about finding your purpose in God and the people that He has around you. Because when you grow deeper and you take God's word and put it inside of you, look at that. It's a transformation that takes place. That started out as water, but let me just tell you that the longer that you steep, the more that you become what you allow into your life. The more you become like what you allow into your life. What are you allowing into your life? Because that is what you will become like. Simple truth. You will become like what you allow in your life. Here's the last thing as we wrap up. Make God's word the foundation, yes. Make it a daily, make it the first part of your daily life. Get up and take those first 15 minutes. Make it grow deeper in your life. And here's the fourth thing. Make it a weapon for the challenges of life. Make it a weapon for the challenges of life. Make it a weapon. Because the storms and the challenges of life are coming. And I want you to be able to stand in the middle of that storm and not have the roof of your life cave in around you. Ephesians 6, 13 and 17 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you are able to stand your ground. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Ephesians 6 talks all about the armor that we have, a helmet of salvation, a shield of faith, a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, all of these things that as we walk in the truth that God has delivered us, that God protects us, that our faith is a shield that stops the attack of the enemy, that we can walk in righteousness and it protects our heart, that we can have a belt of truth that holds everything together, but there is only one offensive weapon for which to stand strong and destroy that which comes against us. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It becomes a weapon for us. Listen, we're wrapping up. I'm asking everybody just to remain seated, remain calm and quiet for just a moment because I want you to get this. I want everybody to hear this. When the world comes crashing down, and it will, it's not if, it's when. What are you building your life on? What you think is right? Or what for millennia has stood the test of time, it's stood the test of critique, and it's still here. Test it. And this is what you'll find as the storms come. You can say, whoa, man, when that storm's coming and it looks like you don't know which way to go, you can say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says that I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't even know which way to go, but I'm trusting you. I'm not trying to figure it out myself, and I know that you're going to show me the step, the next step, the door that I'm to go through. Father, I trust you. Lord, I'm going to believe Isaiah 41:10 that says, "Fear not, for you are with me." God, I believe that you're with me. Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. So Lord, I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to do to provide provision. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to be what you've called me to be, but I'm going to trust that you are taking care of me. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So God, I know that I can do what you've called me to do. I can be what you've called me to be. And it doesn't matter what happens, even if the brokenness invades and the storm is hard and tough. I know that Romans 8:28 holds true that says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even that storm that rocks our world, if our foundation is built on God's word, we stand. And in the end, all those terrible things that we encounter will be turned around for good, and that we can stand with a sound mind, with a right heart, with good judgment, and with faith, knowing that God sees us through every difficult circumstance. And I want you to get it. I so want you to get it. And if you're here and you know that this message is for you, man, you better respond to God, not to me. I'm just a guy. But God is for real. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you know that you've let some things inside of your life, you don't want to become like those things that you've allowed in. You need to turn that over to God and say, God, I don't want that to be a foundation that I'm building my life on. Nobody's looking around, and I certainly won't embarrass you, but if you're here and you say, Pastor, there's some things that I've allowed into my life, and it's steeping, and I dislike it, and I know it's a wrong foundation, pray for me that that thing can be ripped out of my heart, my soul, and my life. That's you. No one's looking at all, just me. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. There's some things I need ripped out. Thank you. There's these hands all over. You can put them down. I want to pray for you right now. Father, I just pray for everyone who raised their hand, that, Lord, that they recognize by your Spirit there's some things in their life that need to be taken out. So, Lord, I just pray that you just come by your Spirit and you just begin to remove that. Lord, I just pray that you just show them that you have a better way for them. So I just want, if you just raised your hand, still nobody's looking, I just want you to just pray and just right under your breath, right where I say, Dear God, I turn from that thing that's in my life that I know I shouldn't have. I surrender it to you. And some of you here, you don't really know what the foundation of your life is built on. And today, God is speaking to you, and you know it because you feel weird. And he's saying, build your life on the foundation of my truth. For some of you, you may have served God your whole life, but you've never really dug into the Scripture. You've just kind of taken everything by faith, but you've not found what you really wanted to find, even though you know and love God. Or maybe you're here and you've always discounted the truth of the Bible and always wondered, God, are you even real? But today he's speaking to you and you can sense it. If you're here and you know that this message was for you and that he's calling you to build the foundation of your life on his word, if that's you, just raise your hand. That's right where you are. I won't embarrass you. That's you. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Over here to the right, I see you. To the left over here, I see you. I see you. Thank you. I just want us all, can we just pray just a prayer center and surrender together to say, Dear God, I want to build my life on the foundation of your truth. I choose you. I turn from my ways. I turn to you. I'm 100% yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look up here. And in an awesome Sunday, God's good. May you hold on to his word. May you trust him. And when you do, it doesn't mean that the storms don't come, but it does mean this. You can be certain that the best is yet to come. Love you guys. Have a great Sunday. Pastor Josh, you're up.
Whew. Y'all good for Pastor? Wow. We're about to take up tithes and offerings. So ushers, you guys can go ahead and come on down. Man, I don't know about you guys, but these last 4 weeks have just been great. How many of you guys have just gotten a lot out of these last 4 weeks? Anybody? I know I have. It's been awesome. A couple quick things I want to do. First of all, in your notes, Pastor left one blank off, and that was scripture memory. I want to challenge you just to do what he said with the first 15. Man, get into God's word and get God's word in your heart and in your life. Scripture memory was your blank, but get God's word in your life. I just know for us and for my family, just as we walked through this last season with Kelly's cancer and just God bring us through that, it was God's word over and over and over again that just got us through these moments. So man, get God's word in your life. Ushers, you guys can go ahead. If you are giving today, you can make sure checks out to Church the King, or you can also give online or through the app as well. As you're doing that, a couple quick things I want to mention. First of all, our prayer team, you guys can go ahead and come on up. And if you need someone just to pray with you, if you're going, man, there's something in my life I just want someone to pray with me about, these guys have been praying for you, praying for these services. And so they'll be up here at the front after service. If you need someone to pray with you, come on down, connect with these guys, and just let them pray with you. And just pray that God works on your behalf. The last two things are this. First of all, we start a new series called Famous Last Words next Sunday. It's going to be awesome as we get ready for Easter and just going through the words of Jesus. And it's going to be really, really good. So I encourage you to bring someone with you as we just go through what Christ said and did leading up to the time on the cross. And then last but not least is Grow Step 4 today, where we talk about teams, the teams here at Church the King, and what we do and how just everything happens. And so if you have not gone through Grow Step 4, today is a great day to do it. We'll be in the room just right behind you here in the theater room, and Pastor mentioned it, but childcare and food are provided. That's it. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Get you guys out here and enjoying this wonderful day. Man, God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. God, just, Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, that, Lord, your word would come alive in our hearts. God, that it would just become so real to us. Lord, that as we read it, God, that you would just allow your words, Lord, to leap off the page and into our hearts. And God, that you would lead us and guide us. And God, I just pray just a blessing over every single person in here, that, Lord, that you would be with them in everything they do. God, guide their steps. And Lord, lead them closer to you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You guys have a great Sunday. We will see.